Sorry about the technical delay. It's minor issues with one of the websites. Okay, so the Finance Minister and the State-Owned Enterprise Minister are intending to announce that the government will make a supplementary disclosure to the Mighty River Power Offer document. The existing document already outlines the risks of investing in Mighty River, including legislative and regulatory risks. And a lot of people will already be aware that Labor and the Greens have come out with their proposal to have a centrally planned electricity system where the government makes all the major decisions. But we want to make sure we've fulfilled all of our obligations under securities legislation, and that means letting people know of this development through the proper channels. People can make up their own minds about a number of things, but they would include, one, the likelihood of Labor and Greens becoming the government, two, even if they were, could they actually practically implement this policy, three, over what time frame might that be, and fourthly, what would the effect of the policy be? So there are a lot of uncertainties out there. Nonetheless, the advice we got was that Labor and the Greens proposal could be material to people's decisions to buy shares, so a supplementary disclosure should be submitted. Put it simply, if we'd known about this a few weeks ago, we would have put it in the original offer document. But Labor and the Greens chose to announce their proposal after the share offer had opened. That share offer remains on track for a listing day of May the 10th. You'll be aware, because I've said it so many times now, that I can't talk about anything to do with price or demand. So I don't intend to make any comments on that. But what I can say at a more general level is that what Labor and the Greens are proposing, if they could ever actually get it in place, would be a huge step backwards for New Zealand. A competitive electricity market, which we significantly improved in 2009, is bringing down the rate of price increases and is the only way of delivering competitive prices into the future. They want to replace that with a big state agency controlling almost every aspect of the electricity system. But experience shows that politicians and central bureaucracies do a bad job of setting prices and ensuring supply. You can see that even now in South Korea, which has a similar system to the one that Labor and the Greens are proposing. They are having big price rises and people are having to alter their working hours to prevent the country running out of electricity. More broadly, if the Greens and Labor ever got close to government, it would introduce a lot of regulatory uncertainty. We need people, both Kiwis and overseas investors, to invest in our country. But people will think twice about investing in a country where the government can turn around and change the rules on you overnight, and that would cost jobs and it would cost wages. New Zealand is actually doing well compared to most other developed countries in the world, and that is because we have sensible economic policies that have steered us through a recession, through a global financial crisis and through a major natural disaster. Labor and the Greens seem to want to chuck all that away. Just in terms of the budget, growth will be a focus of Budget 2013. New Zealand is performing better than most other countries. Our GDP growth of 3% in 2012 compares with 1.6% in the United States, 1.1% in Canada, 0.4% in Japan, 0.3% in the UK, and minus 0.9% in the euro area. We're on track for 2 to 3% growth over the next few years, even taking into account the impact of the drought. At Boa Forum, I met with Christine Lagarde of the IMF, who said New Zealand's economy is performing a lot better than other countries and the IMF is very supportive of the government's policies. As Bill English said in a speech last week, the government remains on track for surplus in 2014-15. This is a considerable achievement and a significant turnaround in just a matter of a few years. This government, in five budgets, has increased its discretionary spending by only a tenth of the amount the previous Labor government did over their last five budgets. We've shown that over the last 4.5 years we can run a very tight ship while remaining the trust and support of New Zealanders. Just in terms of Afghanistan, as you know, the last group of New Zealand defence personnel who served with the New Zealand Provincial Reconstruction Team in Bamiyan returned home at the weekend. The return of the 60 personnel marks the end of New Zealand's decade-long commitment to the PRT and follows the recent flag lowering and memorial unveiling. We are proud of our very significant contribution in Afghanistan, but it came at a great cost. We will never forget the 10 brave soldiers who gave their lives. With Anzac Day coming up this Thursday, I will be remembering the sacrifice these soldiers made. I'm advised that the handover of Kiwi Base went well and overall the extraction went smoothly. The theatre extraction team based at Bagram Air Base is continuing to work on the final logistics of returning supplies and equipment to New Zealand and will return home in May. The PRT has made a significant contribution in Bamiyan security and made a lasting difference to the lives of people there. I want to thank each and every person who contributed to the effort over the past 10 years. We're also very grateful to the service of the Afghan interpreters who risked their lives to help New Zealanders in Bamiyan. Today we welcome 30 interpreters and their families to New Zealand for resettlement. These men played a vital role in the operation of the PRT, and it's only right that we recognise their contribution. The group will spend their first 8 weeks in the country at the Mangere Refugee Resettlement Centre, where they'll prepare for their new lives in New Zealand. They will be resettled in Hamilton and Palmerston North. We'd like to offer them a very warm welcome and wish them the best. Terms of my activities this week, tomorrow I'm in the Coromandel Electorate, Wednesday I'll be in Auckland, Thursday, which is Anzac Day, of course I'll be attending the Dawn Service here in Wellington and the National Service in Wellington, and then on Friday I'll be in the Taupo Electorate. This weekend will be the first of the National Party regional conferences with the Mainland Conference in Hanging Springs, which you're all welcome to join me on, and I'll be speaking on Sunday morning. In case you miss it, we'll send out the speech. And just for your diaries, there's no cabinet or post-cabinet meeting or press conference next week.
Do you feel, Prime Minister, that Labour is trying to sabotage your might be ruling power?
Oh, look, I don't want to go into their motivations. People can make up their own mind why they've done what they've done. I don't think the policy is workable. I don't certainly think it would be in the best interests of New Zealand. But the government needs to fulfil its legal obligations and make sure that New Zealanders are informed of all the risks.
That's not ideal, you having to put out the supplementary disclosure. I mean, it could be potentially pretty confusing for a lot of first-time investors.
It could be, but I think it's really important that we fulfil our legal requirements. I mean, under securities legislation, that's a serious business. We're about getting on with the float, and that's going to take place on May the 10th, as I said. But it's really important that we don't open ourselves up to any kind of legal action, if you like. That was the advice that the Due Diligence Committee got over the weekend, and we're following that advice.
So people get the money back if they feel they didn't have all the information?
If they pre-register or really effectively sent in their cheque, yes, they're free to do that, I think, over the course of the next 5 days or so. Otherwise, it's business as usual.
What do you make of the way that Labor and the Greens are scared people like that?
Well, my only advice to people is if you have any concerns at all, get advice. At the end of the day, I can't make any predictions about price or about the appetite for people to buy shares because I'm just legally prohibited from doing so, not because I don't want to, but because I can't. So in the end, they should get their own advice if they're concerned. It's up to them to decide all of the risks there, including whether Labor and the Greens can actually ever get there, whether they can actually ever implement the policy, over what time frame. All I can say is that my personal view, we've got an electricity system that's working well in New Zealand. If we want to go back to the days of a central bureaucracy where bureaucrats in Wellington determine whether we make generation decisions for new electricity generation and set prices, run over the top of private contracts that have been established, then to me that is far left-wing policy, and it just sums up what I've been saying. I think this election will be fought on a centre-right versus a far-left opposition.
Would it not have been reasonable, though, for Labor and the Greens to have released this policy a couple of weeks ago so you didn't have to confuse people with another disclosure?
Yeah, and you can ask them about their own motivations for doing that. You can also ask them of their motivations of why in 2006 in government they actually rejected this very policy. And the truth is, because it's actually really bad policy, it might be okay politics if you're in opposition, but it ain't good policy.
Have you had any update on the value that has been eroded from various companies since the
announcement? Oh, look, I've had Stephen Joyce giving me a brief sort of update, but I mean, obviously it varies. I mean, last time I looked at my iPhone, which is not necessarily the most reliable source of economic advice, I think Contact was up this afternoon, but, you know, like overall, the sort of number he was talking about this morning was over $500 million wiped off the stock exchange. I don't know whether that's accurate right now.
And just getting back to that Labor Greens policy, wiping value like that off the stock exchange at the moment, and obviously wiping the money off Mighty River Power, yeah, that's clearly got to disappoint you.
I can't make a comment about the last bit because I can't determine whether it has or hasn't done that. But in terms of overall, I mean, the bigger issue here is what is the message it actually sends international investors and New Zealand investors? And the message it sends is that whenever they see any kind of political issue, they are actually prepared to trample right over the top of basically orthodox economic policy. So do you really want these people with their hands on the levers? I mean, do you really want them printing money, have the government out there building houses again, basically ripping up proposals to build Transmission Gully, whacking on a massive ETS, nationalising power companies? I mean, if it's power companies, what's next? I mean, petrol stations and petrol companies are in the news a fair bit. Supermarkets are in the news a fair bit. I mean, if it's good enough for this, hey, it's good enough for everything else.
But do you think it's responsible to launch this policy now, you know, at the point where they can, if they're ready, to sell the money
and bring it out? Well, as I say, you have to ask them about their motivations. I'm not going to speculate on those. What I am going to do is my job, which is to make sure that the government complies with its legal obligation.
Is there a level of anger, though, in the Beehive about this and in Treasury?
Can't speak for Treasury because I haven't spoken to them. I wouldn't describe it as anger. I mean, in the end, it's horrible economic policy. The last time we had these kind of policies, people huddled around candles because the lights went out. I mean, we had a very dry year last year in New Zealand and there were no blackouts. In 1992, when it was a very dry year, and we didn't have the sort of policies we have in place, there were significant blackouts in New Zealand. But, you know, the concept of a bunch of bureaucrats in Wellington determining whether we should actually be building a new power station vis-a-vis the market saying there's increased demand is quite a frightening concept, I think, to a lot of New Zealanders. So Labor looked at it in government with all the full force of all of the officialdom and reports that they could get, and they firmly said no. People like Trevor Mallard and Shane Jones said no. But in opposition,
is this frustrating for you, though?
No, because at the end of the day, I've come to expect the unpredictable from our far-left opposition, and at the end of the day, there'll probably be quite a bit more of it over the course of the next 18 months. I mean, I think the really good news point of view from National's perspective is we are in all probability going to go into election 2014 with an economy that is back in surplus or very close to it. We will have managed our way through the global financial crisis, the problems in Christchurch, significant other issues that the economy's had to deal with, and we will have done that in a situation, in a way which I think can give people confidence of what we're going to do. And we're very predictable. We do what we say we're going to do, and we don't do what we say we're not going to do. So the point is, I think that's a really strong position to be campaigning on. I'd much rather be up against the far left Labour and Greens than the centre Labour.
Prime
Minister,
what's
going to
continue with
these
couple of polls that suggest that
the
Left Bloc could take the next election?
Well, I think you've got to be careful about that because, I mean, one of the TV channels had us governing alone. There's going to be a lot of polls between now and the next election. There's been a lot of them.
Down, though, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily. Actually, if you look at the TV1 poll, I don't want to get into it because it's your job to analyse all the polls. But if you actually look at the TV1 poll, the two before Christmas were both 44. Then you have one that was 49, and this one's 43, and we lost 1% to the Conservatives. So the trend's actually under Colmar Brunton for us to be 44-44, 49-44. So look, at the end of the day, let's see how they go. There'll be lots of polls between now and then.
Are you guys actively encouraging a right-wing coalition partner outside of Parliament?
Well, I don't know whether you'd say we're actively encouraging that. I mean, we recognise that we'll probably need partners, and in the end, in 2014, we'll have to give people an indication of who we can work with and who we can't. In the end, political parties may well emerge. I can't determine that. I'll just tell you who we can work with and who we can't.
You're not doing anything about it now?
Not overly actively, I'm not, no.
Can you work with Colin Gray?
Look, in the end, we'll make those decisions in 2014, but I mean, the indications I think he had in the 2011 election was he's more likely to work with us than he is with the Left, that's for sure.
On the GCSB poll, how important is trust for an intelligence agency?
Well, from what I can see, in a variety of different polls actually, it overall sort of shows that the majority of New Zealanders are either neutral or trust the GCSB. That's good news, but what it also shows you is we've got a lot more work to do. We need to continue to rebuild trust. I think that trust should be there in that organisation, because my view is it's got very good people who are working hard for the country and for our national security interests. But clearly, the events of the last 12 months or so have eroded some of that confidence in New Zealanders. We need to rebuild that with better oversight and better rules governing GCSB.
How damaging is the
to GCSB?
Yeah.
Look, you don't know what you don't know. And that's the facts of being in government sometimes. So sometimes things just come along and surprise you. If you'd asked me, I don't know, 2 years ago, would this have been likely, I would have said no. I genuinely didn't see anything that indicated that there was the level of problems that we now see. But I can't spend too much time thinking about that. I just need to move on and deal with fixing it.
Mr. Brookwood just announced that he won't be coming back.
Yeah.
Did the National Party tell him it didn't want him back and who
did he
want instead?
No, we definitely didn't tell him we didn't want him back. He would have been more than welcome. I think, as I've indicated to the media last week, had some sort of loosely heard on the grapevine he wasn't going to come back. But we were 100% sure. He took the weekend to think about it. My understanding is Paul Foster Bell is next on the list. He's in rehab with NFAT. And all the indications I've had is he's likely to want
to come. And how do you feel about Paul Foster Bell coming in?
More than happy to have him, and I think he'd be a great addition to the team.
Promise, what did you make of their statement by Winston Peters over the weekend that he would only meet with the government if the pullback might be the power?
Yeah, well, he also said he wouldn't go into government for the boardrooms of office, So my point would be we're not going to make the decision about whether we could or couldn't work with New Zealand First this year. We'll think about that next year. And secondly, I'm not going to be negotiating on any bottom lines prior to the election with any political party. My experience is that's not very productive. It doesn't actually help the public. But I know just one thing he said in the weekend, and that is that KiwiSaver could be used to buy back their shares. Well, the government can't control KiwiSaver. I mean, that's your savings. We don't go and tell you. Labor and the Greens might tell you where you have to invest your savings under their new policies, but we won't be telling people. So,
and is there any chance whatsoever that a national government under you would buy that monopoly power?
Well, we wouldn't be selling it unless we thought selling for up to 49% was the right thing to do. That's about all Winston Peters is saying.
You won't buy it back?
Well, as I said, we wouldn't be selling 49% unless we thought it was the right thing to do.
Given that the price could go down, if you look at what the analysts are saying, would it be responsible of you, is it responsible of you to continue with that float if you're not able to get the best price for taxpayers?
Yeah, it's absolutely responsible for us to carry on with the program. We need to fulfil our legal obligations. What impact there is on price or demand, I can't speculate on. But one thing I would say is that if you're of the view that it affects price, then if Labor and the Greens became the government, then it affects price anyway. Because the reality is, if that's your view, then whether we own 51% or 100%, if your view is it affects price, then it affects price.
With the rain over the weekend, what does that mean for farmers and for the economy?
I think it's good news that we've had rain. It's not too cold at the moment. There's still parts of the country that need more rain. The Minister of MPI gave us a bit of an update at Cabinet, so obviously they're pleased with the rain, but we'll still wait and see. The programs that we're running with support to farmers will continue out until the 30th of September at this point.
Japan
have
signed on for TPP. Is it really as good a news as
Timor Leste? With Japan, you mean? It's very positive in the sense that Japan are a very large economy, and so having a free trade agreement with them, as with the United States, would be tremendous for economic gains, I think, for the New Zealand economy. It adds another complicating factor, but I think everyone's aware of that complication.
So what are the chances now of a deal by the end of the year?
I don't think I'd really want to speculate on that. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see.
Has this been a bit of a case of, be careful what you wish for, that maybe it would be a lot easier without Japan now?
My view of TPP is that if we can get it concluded, it'll be very significant to the New Zealand economy. I've heard a few rumours of the Greens saying if they were part of government and it wasn't signed, they wouldn't let New Zealand sign it. Well, I think they need to declare their position on that, because on the advice we've had, it's worth about $2.1 billion to the New Zealand economy, even without Japan. So it's a very significant impact on the economy.
Can I ask right to ask you, you've had some changes in your office from that chief press secretary role, etc. Is there a reason for that? Is that, do you feel that you haven't had the strategy right, or what's the purpose of that?
No. Look, it's purely driven off Kevin Taylor's, you know, personal view. He's been in that job for a long period of time. He started with me in, you know, early 2006. He came to me a wee while ago and said, look, he wanted to do something different. He thought that was the right thing to do. And, you know, I've got huge respect for Kevin. I support him in what he wants to do in this next part of his career.
And can I just ask you, Wellington City Council gave a report they had recently just about how the government find it difficult to deal with Wellington as an entity. Do government ministers find that? Do you find it easier to deal with, say, Auckland Advisory Group with one single authority as opposed to Wellington with many?
Well, let me answer that slightly different way. I think with Auckland, it's been hugely beneficial having one voice. It allows, where there are complicating or challenging issues, you know, having a single voice makes it easier to do business there. Having said that, in Wellington, it's obviously smaller, the greater Wellington area, than Auckland. And I meet regularly with Mayor Celia Wade Brown. So, you know, in the end, if there's to be change in amalgamation in Wellington, my view is that has to be led by, you know, the council's putting up a proposal to the local government commission and the people of Wellington supporting it.
Just on your China trip, do you think that voters are happy with the focus China and their relationship?
Well, if you've got a poll question, I don't know the answer to it, so I'll just wing it and give you my honest response, which is, look, I think that New Zealanders recognise that when we sell more to the world than we buy from them, that's going to, in the end, develop jobs and make us a stronger, wealthier country. And so I've been very proactive in my time as Prime Minister in doing that, and I genuinely believe it's absolutely the right thing for the country. So in the end, I guess your poll will tell whether the story it's going to tell, but my view is it's absolutely the right thing to be doing. And I think if you look at the changing economic landscape around the world, there is just no question that China is going to become a more dominant and significant trading partner for New Zealand.
Some questions around about morale in the Defence Force. How do you assess morale at this point?
Look, I think when we undertook some of the changes, there might have been at the margins some concerns. Change always engenders concern in some people, but, you know, I recently met with the new Chief Executive of Defence, as I do when Chief Executives come in, and I think she reported to me that she felt morale was improving.
You're happy with it?
Well, you always want people to be happy when we work and understand where the government is going, and I think for the most part people generally do.
You've given an approval for Maurice Williamson to appear on the Alan Show. What was your thinking there?
Be hard to stop him. No, my thinking was, look, at the end of the day, if he wants to go, he has to fulfil his obligations. They are, if they pay his airfare and accommodation, then he has to list that on his pecuniary interest. If he was to be paid to go on the show, which is actually possible because of the actor's equity, they sometimes require that you get paid, he'll need to donate that to charities. I did when I was on David Letterman. But outside of that, I mean, I think while he gave a very humorous sort of speech, there was a serious message in there. And if that helps in terms of New Zealand getting a reputation for being a tolerant, progressive society, then I think that's good for New Zealand.
Are you surprised at the way that this is blown up, and with all due respect, that it's Maurice Williamson who's leading the charge?
Our own little gay icon. Okay, I am slightly surprised, but then in politics some things never cease to surprise me. I guess it was as Kevin Hayden described in the paper this morning, probably right. Who would have thought the big three speeches would have come from Paul Hutchinson, Chris Ockenbowl, and Maurice Williamson? There you go.
Who's the
go
biggest show, Letterman or Alan, you know?
Oh, it's a competition now, is it? That's got to be Letterman, doesn't it? Probably Alan. My wife watches Alan anyway.
What is it? Is there anything inappropriate about a contemporary geek sort of portraying himself as a gay icon when he's really just given fairly minimal support that comes down to it to a bill that on media fits a subset of privilege with?
Look, I don't think that is right. If you look at Maurice Williamson's record on conscience issues, he's extremely liberal. He's been very consistent, and he's always voted liberally. So I don't think you really can say it was a one-off thing. I mean, I don't think in Maurice's wildest dreams he would have thought you know, 1.5-2 million people who have been watching on YouTube on that particular speech. It's one of the quirks of politics. Sometimes that happens. But looking at the end, he's been very consistent in his beliefs in that area. And I think the gay community would thank him for his support. You'd have to ask him, but in all of the things that I've seen in my time as leader, I've always seen him voting liberally, but you'd have to ask him about his own.
He did vote
against civil unions. Did he? I don't exactly know why, but generally everything else I've seen is very liberal.
What does that sort of profile do, though, for your chances of forming alliances with parties like Colin Craig's party?
Well, you know, we're not going to change our position on conscience issues. I mean, the caucus fiercely preserves its right for conscience issues when it comes to abortion, gay rights, you know, alcohol, all those issues. So in the end, you know, we'll be up front and tell Mr. Craig and anybody else that's our position, that's what we'll be doing, giving our MPs a free vote on that area.
Are there other right-wing parties you've heard about that might be in the wings?
Only that one that's the Farmers thing or something, isn't it? I don't know its name, but I read about it in the paper.
Just on GPP. So, you know, if it is signed this year with an state disputes procedure, which is being mooted, would you see the Greens Labour thing on Mighty River Power as perhaps triggering that disputes mechanism?
I haven't had any advice on that. I'm sorry. I'd need to go and ask. Okay. See you later. Might see you next week, though.